weed park.
Questions of the day. Not everyone at once. You always have questions, John.
Go, John.
Well, I guess I will start with one. Last week, you were able to be here.
Yep.
And many of us were here during that meeting.
Yep.
I didn't know the full story of what happened with the student who posed the potential threat.
Yep.
And I felt like I got a lot of information from other parents and people here about how the whole thing went down from October to the present. I've often been critical of the school district and probably will be in the future. What I guess I don't understand is what you could have done differently.
Yep. So great question.
And so I would like to know what you would have done differently, and say if a similar situation happened again, what should we expect?
Yep. So thank you. Perfect. One of the things that we've done is I pulled my team together and asked those same questions. And so collectively, as we've said, what could we have done different? One is, first of all, how we internally communicate. So working on that internal communication is key. And pulling in people at the right time is always tricky, but that's something that we really debriefed as far as what's that threshold that we have to really be open and share information. The second piece would be while I will publicly apologize for the content of the email. The timing of it was maybe not perfect, but given the information that we had at the time and the number of the hits that we just could not get ahead of, it was the right thing to do to try to communicate. Again, the content was not well done. But it also, I want to say, working on a team, there's no one to point blame to. All this has been is an opportunity for us to say, how can we do better? One, even looking internally of how many people have opted out of our emails. I mean, we have a thousand parents that have opted out of being on our emails. And so looking internally, how can we now get them back on the system of opting back in? How can we maybe send an alert system working with Summit County? Hi, Bob. How could we work with Summit County to do real, you know, alert systems that they use? I would also say just the partnerships that we have with the police department, with the sheriff's office. Frank's here from the sheriff's office. In those safety situations, and I can't say this enough, it was not a situation that put our students at risk. This one had been completely neutralized, but yet, how do we work better with each other? So, I mean, Molly's worked for hours putting some communications checklist. We've, as a process piece, we've gone through our emergency plan and done checklist by checklist by checklist and said, where was the breakdown of this and how could we do better? My other piece to this has been an awareness, and I wanna say this, is that as a community, helping our community understand mental illness and supporting each other in that, because one of the things that, I mean, Bob's finding at the high school, that Emily is finding at Treasure Mountain, is that the number of even suicide referrals that we're having to do is exponentially increasing. And we don't have the manpower to manage the mental illness that we're seeing right now in our schools. And it's not a school issue, it's a community issue and how we deal with that. So there's gonna be a forum on May the 23rd that we're gonna talk about, you know, the law enforcement side of these types of situations. How can something go wrong fast, or how can we neutralize it as best as we can, as well as looking at our crisis plan, and also looking at mental illness. And I mean, it's really perfect timing with Mental Health Awareness Month.
Kind of to add on to that question, what decisions have been made about what the threshold is for, you know, kind of who is in the know and who is making the decisions about what to communicate? And I understand that at some level we do need to keep, like, what the police are doing somewhat private just to make sure it works. But at what time do we decide, okay, this is what we should share with the community, and if we can share these things, that might make people feel more secure about what's going on.
I'll openly say we've had some critical conversations internally within our team. So I think that's to begin with of what information could have been shared, should have been shared, and with whom. I would also say from a parent perspective, while we have to keep our own, all the students safe, we also have to be very careful and caring with what we share for the other families involved.
Of the privacy.
I know Wade deals with this, I know Frank deals with this as far as being in an organization, because we're not only responsible for all the people in our organization, we're also responsible for the organization as a whole as far as liability. And so while I wish I could divulge tons of information, go ahead, Wade.
I was just going to say, kind of to that point, is that we continually evaluate every one of these situations. We get a lot of things. Some of you know we had 3 bomb threats during Sundance. Some of that's good information to know. Some of it's not good to know. And we put out what we feel is pertinent and germane to what's going to public safety, to what's really going to keep you safe. I can guarantee you, if it was a situation that I was concerned as the police chief for the safety of the kids in the school, I felt it was a legitimate active shooter situation where we had concern, we would shut the school down. Just like we did when we had the threat of the pistols. Remember that? That
was last year.
When we had that information come in, we acted on it immediately. We worked with the sheriff's office. We made arrests on that case. Those people were dealt with immediately. We take it very seriously. This situation was interesting because on the communication side, the incident was dealt with in October. It was done, and I will say this again, at any time, and I'm going to speak hypothetically because I can't speak to this case itself, but hypothetically, if an individual is removed that's made a threat and they're alienated and isolated, which, we have to look at counselors and all these other type of issues to look at that situation and evaluate them. The longer they sit by themselves without having some way to deal with a problem, we have a chance of that individual offending or acting out. And so as a police department, as a police chief, I want to be able to look at that situation on a case-by-case basis, communicate with the family, and obviously, we don't want a mob mentality, because as parents, we have a tendency, we're going to protect our own. We are going to protect our kids. And as a police department, we have a responsibility to do the same thing. And so as we look at these situations, we want to be very, very careful that we get that individual reintegrated in some kind of reassimilated in some kind of system, whether that be another school system. But when they're coming back to the school, we hold the cards. We have the ability to set the rules. We have the ability to search them. We have the ability to have somebody with them present while they're in school during the time they're attending school. So personally, I'd rather know where that individual is versus not having them on campus and not knowing when they can walk on the campus at any time. That's my view as the police chief. And I evaluate these situations regularly. I just got back from Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association yesterday speaking on this very issue. So we're not the only ones that are having this. This is a national issue. It's become a big deal. And certainly I'm not professing to be a mental health expert, but I deal with a lot of people that have mental health issues. And so I have to evaluate the risk, and certainly the risk of the community and what this looks like. I'm going to say this again, because I honestly feel that Park City is better than we have been. How we've acted on this situation. And I understand as parents, we all have concerns. We do, and we have a right to have those concerns. But I think we could have handled this situation better from our side, from the district side, and from the parents' side. When parents called me or called our officers, we had staff available to answer their questions. And when we had that information, we felt that information was dealt with, and I have not received any phone calls from other parents that had concerns that have talked to our officers that haven't felt that's been dealt with. A learning piece would be that with something like this is going to go out, that this communication has got to happen between Ember and I. We clearly, that has to happen if there's going to be an email out, and then there's got to be resources there to answer your questions. That's something that you have to go through these in order to learn. I've been a chief for 20 years and a cop for 28 years. I've had a lot of these. I've screwed up a lot of situations, I can tell you. I probably screw up more. But the point is when you have those situations, you learn from them and we move forward. And we need to be productive. I mean, we got a lot of smart people in this community. And we have the ability to make some really good change. I will tell you that I had an FBI agent whose kids go to this, to our school district, and a Secret Service agent whose kids go to this school district, who both called me. I explained to them the plan, and they both seemed like they were totally fine. I can't speak for them, but I do know that they I don't know about the email side of it, obviously. They had concerns. That's how I found out about it, is because they read the email. So we got two separate issues here. We got a safety and security plan that I feel was acted on. The communication was good. There wasn't a break in that. And that, in my view, was the real issue. That was the immediate issue for life safety that had to be dealt with. There was a secondary piece, which is the communication piece, that we clearly have to fix. So.
And we are. I mean, Molly has just been phenomenal in working with our administrators, with resources around our community, the state. So we're working on it. It'll be much better in the future.
A follow-up on that would be, it sounds like what the citizens want is accountability, right?
Absolutely.
We want to make sure things are fixed.
And right.
From what you said here, it sounds like everybody's working together to make it better, but there's really no accountability. If this happens again, can we as citizens know this is the opportunity for us to get better? This was a learning experience. Next time, will we hold somebody accountable? Whether it's the lawyer for making you slice down your email to nothing that confused the world, to Molly if she doesn't communicate appropriately, to her plans aren't good, whoever's responsible.
Right.
I mean, next time, will we hold somebody?
And I would say not even next time, anytime that we have a situation like this, and this is what I was talking about as far as going through the process and saying where was the breakdown, we do that internally.
And with that being said, you guys know that we're safe, but we don't. We're all left wondering, and we're still left wondering with you. We're still waiting for you to send out an email to the parents saying, you know what, there was an error. I made a mistake. I am sorry.
Right.
We are still waiting for that. And in October, when you knew this was neutralized and you felt fine, we all didn't know anything until 10 o'clock at night, and then we all panicked. You slept that night probably because you knew your kids were
safe. I wish I would have slept that night,
but
I didn't.
You knew your kids were safe. We didn't. And we're still left wondering if in October it was neutralized, why there was an email that went out that said, this threat happened.
I can share that with you. So
yeah,
in October.
We have dealt with the police department. The police are on it. We are actively working on this. I do not feel that there is any harm. That would have put everybody at ease. Instead, in April, this all started, and parents are still left wondering.
Right. So a couple things. I know Molly will be able to speak on the actual apology because we are working on that. And I'm the leader. I'll take accountability for the email that had gone out. The second piece of that is, in October, the child wasn't our student.
I know, but it still affected our community.
I can't release that information, and I won't.
Okay, well, and I understand that, but all I'm saying is it was affecting our community.
It didn't affect our community until that child came back into our school system, and we had.
So then the October threat, when that threat was made for May 3rd, that was false?
No, it was not false. You're not hearing me.
It wasn't narrowing down to our high schoolers?
We received the information. The child was not our student. We worked through the police department. We worked through our administration. They were not
registered Park City School Districts.
No. I can't share that other information.
Well, I guess the information, I wonder if you could have shared, and I think that now it seems that this is something we might have been able to get from the police department, was obviously nothing about the identity of the student, but maybe a little bit more detail as to what the plan was from the law enforcement side for that day to make sure everyone was safe. And the fact that, I mean, this is what I've heard from other people, but it sounds like you guys had been working with the student from October to April, and with that, or
Yeah, it's not.
At some time. So just trying to understand more, obviously, the students coming back, what the long-term kind of precautions would be and what had been done prior, just so that everybody understands better how it was dealt with, so that we can feel better about it.
So there's a safety plan that's in place and has been in place, and that's something that the safety team, and I don't know who's on that team, maybe you can illuminate that for us a little bit.
There's about 15 people that are on that team, right, but so both internally and externally.
And so that includes law enforcement, and so that means, you know, it's in any of these situations, it's something that the safety plan is followed up until that date and then after, so to make sure that everything's, that obviously they're monitoring and keeping track of any type of situation like this.
Yeah.
So they are still actively involved.
Isn't that something that's publicly available?
No,
not at all.
Okay.
No, the reason being is obviously we still have to protect
be able to
the identity of the child. You have HEPA issues, you know, there's a lot of those things that we can't disclose. It's tough, and you guys know Under Sheriff, the Deputy Chief Frank Smith. Frank is also has a really strong tactical background, and we've talked before this. There's many times that we can't share information that's relative to the safety. I mean, obviously, the safety of the kids. If something comes out, we need to share as much as we can, but without giving up what that safety plan is, if that makes sense. So that's one of those things.
Isn't there a part of the safety plan that's policy that's not producing the private information that could be
specific
in a policy
communication?
That could be, because if, you know, if the apology email, whatever, said, by the way, this stuff, you know, this policy was filed, here's the link, so from now on, you can sleep well knowing that we've got a plan in place. You know?
Yep.
And
so,
it's not giving any private information out. We know we're never going to do that. But, you know, it's those things that would repair the situation to some degree in the community.
And I agree. And that's something that I've been spending a lot of time on. And there's a crisis communications checklist that I've created. And I hate to say this, but email's down right now for the district. So that's kind of jamming us up a little and getting that distributed. But there is, I'll be sending out, or I'll include it in Dr. Conley's email.
It can be posted on the website.
Exactly.
Everybody, I mean, exactly. Most people, parents, you know, have access to go to that district website.
Yeah, exactly. And it will be posted. There's a school safety link on the website. There's really not a whole lot of detail on there. So I'll get that checklist up on there.
And then one other question, though. You said that there's going to be a program on the 24th.
Is
that already on the website?
No, not
any Monday.
And I've been coordinating that.
Okay.
Just kind of, we wanted to be able to really highlight mental illness awareness.
There's been a lot of that.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes. And so we want to do that. We're still kind of getting people in place for that. So that'll be May 23rd. And I will be communicating with everyone. It looks like it's going to be in the lecture hall in the high school. So it'll be more of a panel. Yes, Chief Carpenter's going to be in Haiti, so he's not.
Did you know you were going to be there?
I'm going to be in Haiti. That I didn't know.
He'll be
there.
Yes. So I'll definitely get that out. Absolutely.
Well, and I think it's also important to highlight, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Mr. O'Connor, that, you know, we've started to really internalize what training have we provided for our staff? What other training do we need to provide? And then that also goes, what type of engagement can we provide our parents to also share the safety plan and how we deal with certain crises? And that's something that we're planning to do this fall in every building on a site-by-site basis.
And I think part of what compounded this situation and makes it somewhat unique, the potential threat was such a long time ago, it was dealt with. I think our leadership team was confident that it was over. The rumors didn't start the night before. I had students that had heard some things, you know, weeks before, and they would come in and ask questions. Is this threat true? Is this happening? I'd walk them down to our resource officer, and we'd explain the situation that's been dealt with, and the students would say, thank you very much, I appreciate it, I feel safe. Same thing with phone calls that were coming in. I think what compounded this situation, I think there was a youth group meeting that night where it was discussed and kids went home panicking, rightfully so. Amber started getting phone calls, I started getting phone calls, and the potential rumor mill causing unnecessary concern was exploding. The response to try to calm that was the email that was sent, and unfortunately the rumor mill took over.
And you know, I think we're certainly not unlike other communities. I don't know if you, you know, saw the last situation right now at Brighton High School, almost identical to what happened, and unfortunately two suicides resulted. But the same type of social media happening late at night and then not being able to get ahead and get information out. So again, taking responsibility for the email. I've been asked, would I change the timing? I wouldn't change the timing. I would change the content, just because I could not get ahead of the social media with the children. Again, please, and that's, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm a communications person. I would recommend that if you're in that situation again, that you at least, and I'm a parent too, that you alert the parents with just a placeholder message. Just say, hey, we're coming out with communication. It may be a few hours down the road, but let us get it together before warm. Just anything like that. It's kind of tough, right?
It does. And like I said, boy, have we learned a lot. You know, and I'll just say this. I've read the social media in regards to my team and myself. And if there's one thing that I can share, and I certainly can't change perception, but we have competent people in our schools. We have, and I'm again looking at Bob and Robin, who I work directly with, we have employees and principals that know how to manage these situations and to deal with them. Again, bad timing on the email and the content, but I want to reassure you, we have competent people.
Dr. Clumley, I just have a question because I'm not sure how the phone system works, you know, the one that is the parent notification system. And this is kind of a question to all of you. If you received a phone call with a message, obviously it couldn't be too long, and with a number to call back, would you prefer multiple sources of communication, like the district phone message, and saying, if you have concerns about this message, go to this website or go to this, or have the ability to return some of those calls? I probably had 25 people call me or come by my house. My officers dealt with the same. The issue being was, is this was prior to 10 o'clock at night. And so those that contacted us, we assumed we had dealt with the issue. We thought, okay, we've dealt with everybody that's contacted us. So if we had a message, maybe that's something we could use. We could put that out and say, go to location X and there'll be additional information. You can have conversations one-on-one, not with, you know, you can speak in hypothetical terms. I don't know what your legal tells you, but having been sued multiple times. It's one of those things you got to be careful how you put that out, how you put that information out, especially when you're dealing with juveniles. It's tough. And so you have to speak generally, and you can't speak specific to a lot of these situations. And so it's tough trying to put out a mass email to thousands of parents, and everybody has their own spin, and then everybody jumps on social media versus calling the source and taking care of it. And that's where the problem, that's where things fall apart.
So one of the things that, thank you, that we've worked with is Molly, again, working with communication specialists like yourself, Julie, but putting together certain places that you can get that message. Do you want to share?
Yeah, so included in the distribution of the message will be a roll call, a text message, and an email. So, and the email will have all of the content. There's even a checklist for what's to be included in the content. That will all be included in the email. That email statement will be in the email. It will be on the district website. It will be posted on social media because that's where everybody goes to look. And that will, you know, because there was a challenge with people not getting the email, the email taking a long time to get to people. Some people have opted out of getting district emails, which is something that I'm working with the school messenger system to see if we can override that in a true emergency. But I'm not sure if we have the ability to do that at this point, so we're going to stick with text messages. Robo any other form of communication that we're missing, that we need to really just blanket, get that statement out?
I was going to say, I think with Facebook, you guys tried to spin the tide, or whatever you call it. But I think part of, if you're not figuring out what you can say on Facebook, you know, for what you're doing now, it's going to be a problem. Because I think your hands were somewhat tied to look like with all the Facebook messages. Basically, what you could say is, I can't tell you anything. Everything's okay, I can't tell you everything. I think that's going to lead you to getting more and more
anxiety.
Yeah. And last week, if you don't, I think Vitamin U, way you said, if you don't provide enough details, people make up their own details.
Exactly. And I think Reagan was about that point up last week, which was
but that's correct. That's correct.
And it's you know, and that's part of why the content part of the checklist was created. So every piece of information that we can provide legally, you know, that's on Dr. Conley and myself to make sure that it's not so vague and frustrating for people. We're so sorry again for that frustration and the anger that incited. So we're going to make steps, and we have taken steps. Ember has been on the ground getting this stuff done. And the goal is, ultimately, I keep saying this, but really, like, we want students to be safe. That's our priority, safe and healthy. And Ember works all day, every day, to make sure that's happening and to make sure that this district is providing the best environment possible for our kids to learn and grow. So there were mistakes made, absolutely. I've been saying that. But we are, like, the amazing thing is we're making changes. We're moving forward, and we want to get feedback in a constructive way. And, you know, we're open to that feedback, certainly. But we do want to move forward in a constructive way, and we are.
Yeah. Do you feel like, in hindsight, did you have a heightened awareness of more students coming to you or more concern prior to this relative to other things you dealt with in the past? I mean, in hindsight, which is always 2020, could you sense that this was going to rev up a little more?
There was that concern because of the messages and posts going out to some students and parents got a hold of those. I wish those students and parents had come to me right away, or to Wade, instead of spreading that throughout the community. That was a big cause of the concern. I think the kids that we talked to and the parents that I talked to a week, 2 weeks prior to
it
were put at ease. Hey, it's been dealt with. This child doesn't even go to school here. I feel completely safe. We got great response from the police immediately back in October, and in my mind.
So a week earlier, you kind of felt it wasn't going to blossom because of the people that had come to you. You had allayed their concerns, but that's where I was wondering timing-wise. I think the community was thinking if you were realizing something was brewing. And even though you had,
I can tell you something's always brewing.
Okay, and
there's
that's
something's always and that's, brewing.
No,
I can tell you that.
You know, and I do understand that, but I think that's where the community was wondering on the timing issue. And because we're not administrators and we haven't done this for 20 years, we're on the parent side.
Right.
You know, we don't understand how many times you've seen a similar thing and you put it to bed and it never turned into this. So, you know, I think it's that timing thing that parents were hearing, actually a week in advance, or, you know, some things were coming to you. And so that's where I think they got frustrated, and that's where, obviously, you know, I have not lived in your shoes, and I'm sure it's very challenging.
So I'll take responsibility for that. Jesse Schuweiler, the assistant principal, and I discussed putting together a communication plan when we started getting some concerns. I made the decision, that's just going to fuel the fire.
Right.
Let's deal with them one-on-one as they commit.
Right.
Didn't anticipate a youth group meeting the night before.
Because I want to also say, when you deal with these situations, you also have to anticipate that while this one may have been neutralized, kids get wind of this and we read this and we've been trained on this, that then they're going to act on something that was never in their plans. And so we have to anticipate that.
Well, we also need to control media, and let me tell you why this is important. I was actually talking to Dixon. Do you know Amanda Dixon from KSL? Amanda came and spoke to the Utah Chiefs on active shooters. You know, we had at the Chiefs Association and the responsibility of media. And she said that every 13 days after an active shooter, if the media continues to spin it up, there will be another one based on studies because that information is put out. So there's a responsibility as a community with our kids and as parents when we see this, rather than spinning it up, we need to get it in control. We got to get it in check because we start, you know, they realize that when these things spin up, there's a tension that is given to it. And people seek attention for different reasons. And so I think it's important that you understand that as a community. And it's something that's very real. And it's something that we have to recognize. When I stopped at Taco Bell this morning, I didn't anticipate a mother grabbing me, and she was in tears telling me that her son has overdosed twice last week. He's down in Heber. Overdosed twice last week. He had a security plan for himself. He's been cutting. And this goes on and on and on. So I understand that there is a lot more going on in Ember's world than this situation. And we can't share all of it. And this is, when you have this many students, you're going to have a lot of problems. We have a lot of drug abuse in every community in Utah. We have a lot of issues of mental health that we deal with. And so you need to recognize this is such a small sliver of a huge picture. Trying to evaluate what we put out is tough. It's very, very tough.
But do you feel that faster communication would help dampen kind of the fire that gets started and reduce that media hype? Because that is certainly...
It can if you can predict. Yes. Okay. If the behavior is predictable, then yes, that's accurate. If it's not, then, I mean, what level of saturation do you want as a parent? I don't know. I mean, what is it that you can function in? You cannot function in orange all the time, which is high alert. You can't do it. It's physically impossible. Most of us function somewhere in that yellow range where we're aware of what's going on, but to function in that and continually be being fed, there's kind of this old saying, absolute paranoia is absolute awareness. I mean, do we want that? I don't think we do. So it's tough. It's one of those things you have to evaluate.
We have, as an occasional source of entertainment, we'll read the Park Record and read all, how many of our Park Rec friends have been had to call the police called on them, how many bands practicing on, in Old Town get called on. We get overexposed to this. We get we could read all the tons of calls that you guys get. Why can't we have the same thing with schools? Just overexpose us. Just let us know what's going on. Let us be completely transparent. We can sit back and just go, oh, okay, that's cool. We can see, maybe we need to see how many fires you guys actually put out. And then let us decide, oh, wow, we need to pay attention to this. And then you guys as a school district go, oh, wow, yeah, so this is the one that we need to pay attention to, because if we get hit by the side with something that we think that you guys knew since October, especially since we feel like you've known about it for so long, and then we get blindsided by this, that's when everybody kind of, and then we get blindsided by it at 10 o'clock at night. And with big, very vague emails, that's when we kind of start going a little wonky as parents and as a community. So just overexpose us. Like I said last week, when I sent out emails to parents because I was triaging the team and stuff like that and trying to get everything on board, I sent so many emails out that people almost just started ignoring them. And then when I needed something really paid attention to, I'd all cap it. But at least they have all the information. The team ceased to get blindsided by 20 parents going, what the hell,
Well, this is similar to when we add signs in the community, for example. Signage, we put up a new sign to change behavior, whatever that is, and you get so inundated with signage, you don't pay attention to any of it. And so when you really want to make a statement for a special event, you put a sign there that's in a conspicuous place that you can't help but ignore. And so that's what we need to learn from communication. When something's coming out and we evaluate it, we need to put that sign in that
space.
But
when it comes to our kids and our schools,
correct.
We should be transparent, and we should always have the information. And we should have the information. We should have the information that we need to, if we want to ask more questions and go to the right places.
And that's not my place to answer.
I know. But the thing is that we need to have that door. We need to have the opportunity to see, even see the door and just go, oh, okay, this is something that I want to get more information on. But if you guys are always giving us the information that we know to ask. We know who to ask. We know where to go. We know, oh, okay, there's that safety planning place. Is that being activated? Is it to that level? No, it's not. Okay, well, the school districts had it nailed down before. They did everything right before. So we're going to, the check and balances is there, and we can see the transparency in the check and balances. So we're just going to let you guys run with it. We might question every now and again just to make sure everything's still on par. But if it's always transparent, it's always there, it's always available to parents when it comes to kids, we get a little irrational. We want to know that they're safe. We need the information. That's all it is. Just bombard us with information. You guys will let us know what you're having to put in place to save the plan. And then that's when we can, okay, so we tracked it. The event's transparent. We know who to go to. You're not going to have this kind of reaction.
Is that something that the table in general agrees with? Or do you feel like you're inundated? Do you feel like less is more, more is more, more is not enough?
That's a fine line. I think there's so many people ignoring stuff that that's why they're opting out of the email notification.
But maybe just have it on the website.
It's just really
right. So we have
just waters down the experience.
Yeah, just have it on the website. You don't have to have the email all the time.
And in that transparency portal, there's a Google search engine. So if she wanted to know about latest threats, she would just type that in. It would take that document.
Yeah, you don't have to send it out in
it's
email.
Only for those people.
And I disagree with that, and let me tell you why. Because when you put a portal out there of the latest threat, this goes back to that media thing again. Kids go to, they track social media more than we do. And I think it puts ideas in their heads of other things that could happen. I really do believe that. And I think the data shows that. I think that when you put information out there, continually and saturate people. It's no different than playing World of Warcraft day after day after day, and they start thinking of these things, that there's an impact on their life. And I think if you need that information, you should be able to pick up the phone and call Dr. Conley and have your questions.
I don't want to have to call Dr. Conley every week and just say, is there something I need to know about? Is there something I need to know about? I don't think that it, okay, I agree with the email. Maybe it should be put out in email all the time, but if there is some kind of information, and it doesn't have to be just a threat. It could be, hey, so three kids are smoking weed in the bathroom, just as a heads up, check your kids. It doesn't have to always be a threat. What if it's just concerns? What if it's, all the kids hopping over the wall at 1:24 to catch that bus, they're skipping, give us
so a I will
like,
respond to that. I will respond. We have plans in place and training in place to deal with situations. Our job is to educate. Our job is not to be a blog. Our job is to educate our kids. And I'm going to tell you, if that's really what the community would want, you're going to have to put a whole lot more money into resources and people.
But look at how many resources you're having to put in to the amount of money that you guys are doing.
We deal with it on a one-to-one basis, and I really I'm going to disagree with you. Our job is to educate and keep our kids safe, and that's what we'll continue to do. It's not to inform you of what you just said. Kids are smoking in the bathroom.
You're
dealing with
it. Something. Just give us something. What I'm saying is that
we do give you stuff. I have to embrace this community because this community is engaged and they're caring. What's happened in this situation, and I'm going to be very blunt, we have a family now that is hurting and we haven't wrapped our hands and our arms around them. We have ostracized this family. And I am done.
I brought that up last week. I brought that up. Several times.
We have a family that is dealing with a child that has mental illness. And for anyone that's ever dealt with mental illness, you need to listen. It is not something for our community to ostracize them. This is done. Our kids were safe. We did not have an issue. I apologize for the email, but this family needs us.
But I brought that up before with her.
Thank
you. And I said, you know what, we've got so distracted, but if this would have been handled a little bit better, then maybe we can handle some of the other things that are going on.
Our community needs to help our kids. You want to put your resources and your energy into something? You get them in there and you get us some counseling help with our kids. We have mental health needs. We don't have the resources or the training.
And Amber, I'm gonna chime in here.
Thank you, Petra.
Last week I brought this up. We have over 4,500 kids in our schools. We have 2 psychologists for the entire district. I know it's a budgetary issue. I understand resources. But if we really want to help these kids, we need to get more resources, not only within our schools, but outside our schools as well. I spoke to Valley Mental Health. They talked about the complications they have with getting resources. I'm well aware of having talked to Sutherland over at the middle school there about the number of kids that are on a waiting list to get this help. We don't have the people to provide that.
A year and a half for my son, yes, to get the help.
So as a community, we need to come together to address these issues, and I'm grateful for the fact that it is Mental Health Awareness Month and that we are putting this information out there. But these issues that we're dealing with, not only this kid last week, but many other issues, are because our children need help and we don't have the resources to help them. We need to focus on getting them the resources they need so that they can be successful. We need to stop setting them up to fail.
Are there things that we've identified that we can do as a community, even like as a school, as students, to help you guys get the funding? Like what needs to be done to get to that point?
Aren't you having another FTE counselor?
Well, I mean, we are. So, I mean, I have a couple board members here. I see one there. We have a budget and we look at our budget each year and we weighed that between what are our classroom needs and what are our support needs. So this next year, the board is on schedule to approve 12 classroom positions, so 12 new teachers in our district, along with 3 new nurses and another counselor at Treasure Mountain. And I'm sorry I'm emotional about this. We need specific counselors that deal with the mental health issues. And it doesn't just start in high school or even at eighth grade. We're seeing this occur at fourth, fifth, early, early years. I mean, so, you know, there's always the opportunity to go to the community and do a truth and taxation of asking for, we need a mental health counselor in every single building. Monica?
Can we use land grant funds? Can the Park City Ed Foundation, are their funds restricted, but could we use land grant funds for
land grant
for a, for a,
no, it has, there's, to, it has to be tied to student achievement.
Due to student achievement.
Although there's great research out there that links counseling with student achievement.
So
yeah,
maybe
it really is, but it is not, but that is not how
quantifiable.
Well,
and tracking of the achievement directly.
Can the Ed Fund do it? I mean, we're running for Ed, and we raise a bunch of money in this community.
So, I mean, that would go back to, and we've done this, so I'll use, this is maybe a poor example, but we had a group of parents come together and want gifted specialists in every elementary. They came together and raised the money for us, and we were able to get our gifted specialists. It's a community embracing the idea and coming together and raising the money for that.
Yeah, I'll speak to that again before the foundation. Abby was just here, but she left. I think I would agree with that. But I think it's something that you, as a parent, are passionate about. All right, you know, I think the foundation, but you know, like. options out. There's some brands that you gotta know. It's majority of it is parent donations. So definitely a possibility.
If I may, I would push when we are talking in terms of a mental health counselor and the relationships that we establish with families and kids, I'm a little wary of what I consider soft money. So when you talk in terms of a tax levy, that's something that would be there year after year after year. I would want to know if there's enough money in the Ed Foundation before we hire someone. Because what I don't want to do is start down a road in supporting families and kiddos, hopefully to say, sorry, we don't have Ed Foundation money this year. To be very careful. A lot of things that they fund are incredible, but they're not devastating if we don't have a mixture like this would be.
I'd like to say three things, and everybody will probably disagree with my first one. I think there's been way too much publicity on the subject. I believe the chief is right. From my own experience, I remember being in high school when I got the blank, blank, blank beat out of me. It was all over the front page of the paper. I knew the kid had did it. He was proud of it. Look, I made the paper. Here's a picture of my face. It was beat up. He was proud of it. He needed counseling. Nobody ever paid any attention to him. He was a mean-ass kid. He'd love to beat the crap out of people. I think it has an ill effect on the kids in the school to have all the publicity. I will give you a concrete example. It's from the dual immersion kids at Trailside who look at the newspaper in French every day. When the attack came in Paris, when the attack came in Brussels, the kids were freaked out. When the recent one came, the class that I was in, it was missing, I could probably be wrong, Rob won't tell me, a third of the kids weren't there. Of the kids that were there, half of them were freaked out. What's happening? Are we safe? I think that there was too much awareness. I don't know how you deal with it. I don't know. I try to tell my granddaughter, look, they're crazy, crazies everywhere. We have officers out there to help them. We have the fire department. We have Robin to help them. We have the teachers. I say, those teachers would lay down their life to save you. I tried to explain it. It helped a little bit. But I come back to my original point that I disagree that we want more information out, at least from the kids' perspective. I think it's too much. This is my opinion. You can tell me I'm crazy and go away, but thank you for listening.
To your first point, and the only reason I tell you this, I used to run the Davis Metro gang unit, and when I took it over, we were publicizing every drive-by shooting, and they were on an increase. It was going crazy in Ogden and Layton, and in my own neighborhood, in fact. My neighbor was shot right off his front porch. And we started watching this go on and spiking out of control. And we were feeding the media frenzy on gang-related activity. And I started thinking, you know what? This is exactly what they want. Because this kid that was shot in the head, his name was Toppy. And I said, what's going on? He goes, do you know how much steam I'm going to get out of this? Because he was still alive. And so his biggest concern, just having been shot in the head, was the fact it was going to be publicized and that he was going to get more steam out of being this gang-related, this individual was actually a victim who was an active gang unit member. So that changed my view on press and media. And I started realizing, where is the line there? You've got it, and I've tried very hard in this community to communicate, but recognizing that there is a fine line by putting everything out there. You know, we scrub a lot of the things we deal with because we want, I'm not saying that there's a perceived, there's a lot of things that go on in this community that happen day to day that I don't think that if your kids were at risk, they wouldn't be in school. It would be shut down. We would close it. And that's obviously Ember's call on that, but I think we have a good enough relationship if we needed to do that, and we've done that in the past.
Well, and I said, I've done that in my other district, had no problem doing that when we knew that we didn't have the threat neutralized. Shut it down, evacuated, we were gone.
And so, I mean, obviously, you got to take all these very seriously, but that's my view on media. I know there's a time and a place, and I'm sitting here with media people, and so And but that's always been a balancing act. So I appreciate your comment.
I'm gonna do a time check. I do have our staff here, so please know that I'm gonna stick around and answer any questions and be available. I was gonna say an email away, but today they're not because our email system is down. They're a phone call away.
I tried to email parents to tell them that our email wasn't working and had to laugh at myself.
Actually, school messenger is working. So, and you have to use some humor. On a comical note, the reason that our email system is down is because it's not talking to the new filter that we have in place to catch inappropriate language, pictures, etc. So they're not talking to each other. So I will stick around for about 15 more minutes, and then we've got to get back to the office. But again, we're a phone call away.
Just one thing is reassurance, and most of you in this room are not my parents, but I want you to hear me say it on behalf of other principals. We have a safety plan in place. We talk about it as an entire faculty. We review it every year. We have Kevin Orville, who actually visits our building and writes up citations when it's 82 degrees and all my teachers have popped open their doors. That's the day he came, and he talked to me about the unsafe environment we had created. So we are doing this constantly. Unfortunately, it's been a side we've had a couple of critical incidents this year, and I will tell you that because of those, after those things happen, we talk about what we want to do differently next time so that we can be better at our job and better at communicating. And I will tell you that this year, I'm very proud of the fact that we did have a situation that warranted us asking for law enforcement to come. Within 3 minutes, we had initial law enforcement. Within 10 minutes, I had Tri-County response to that. And I love the fact that really nobody even noticed that happened because it was very quick. It was an immediate response. Nothing transpired, and our law enforcement moved out of there very quickly. And it was okay. And it was, to be frank with you, very, very random, which is what typically schools deal with more than the predicted. We deal with things like a divorce that's gone badly and an upset parent and in this situation. So again, I want to reassure you that I can't stand in front of any of you and say we're 100% foolproof unless you want me to take your child and lock them in a box and hope that they don't hurt themselves inside of the box. But we do very much care about safety. It is something that we talk about, we practice, we try to get smarter when we have situations that we deal with. And so I would provide that personal response and tell you 3 minutes, and then 10 minutes I had everybody in the Tri-County response to our building.
I can't speak for Frank, but I know that we have the same view. If you guys need anything,
call.
Come in. Claire has my schedule. She schedules me. I keep telling her, give me 10 minutes in between so I can find the bathroom sometime. Because she schedules back to back.
So I love the safety aspect. And then for the communications aspect, that's something I am constantly working on. I have an open door policy. Ray took that to heart and came to talk to me. I would love to talk with anybody anytime about any concerns. It helps if you're nice, at least, you know, to
right?
So, you know, we're trying constructively to come together for our kids. That's what everyone's goal is. I am happy to provide as much information as I possibly can. Of course, that's a...
I would like to say that thank you so much for being so accessible. I really appreciate that. I went into the district office and had to use the restroom, and she was waiting for me outside. come this way. So I really appreciate that.
And that's anytime. I'm right at the district office most days, so certainly. And my cell phone number is out there. My email's out there. Use it, because I'm the one who can get you the information that you need.
The only thing I'd like to add is we kind of pride ourselves on being quiet professionals. What the parents don't see is a seamless relationship between the sheriff's department and the police department. What the parents don't know is we concentrate a lot of assets on this situation. The sheriff's department came in and policed the city.
That's true.
What you don't know is at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was in the office. I had my SWAT team in there. I spun everything up with 10 plans. Not that this was a threat, but when you resist my social media, I'm afraid to give someone else an idea.
Right.
So not only did we make a tactical plan for high school, I had a tactical plan for every elementary school, for every middle school, and I had a lot of people that the sheriff authorized paying overtime to just sitting there in case of emergency. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. I will never tell you what our tactical plan is to go rescue our children, but I will tell you I have four from elementary school to Utah State, and there's not one person in the police department or the sheriff's department that wouldn't give up their life to protect those kids. So quietly, we're going to always be there. Quietly, I don't think that our presence is useful until we have to be there. I think it just scares moms and dads, because it would scare me. But we are there, and we are ready with a number of different plans to come in, support the chief, or the chief supports.
We feel that. My son was at the high school at 7 o'clock. I definitely know that there is, you know, security plans in place, and they're run, and I know that they're at the district. You know, as I said last week, you know, we felt secure, and now it's time for compassion. This town needs to come together. We need to move forward, you know, and that's, I feel very secure in this town. I know, you know, that you guys have got a plan, the backup plan, and you communicate, and there's a wonderful relationship between police, sheriff. You know, I commend you guys. You do a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask this young lady, do you guys recognize you have your school resource officers that if you have questions of students, you can go talk with the officers, and that I'd be interested to know.
The only time I've known where he was and that he was available was when we had them come in and talk to our classes. And I know a number of people who felt like the questions they asked during those sessions weren't answered adequately. So yes, I think that is something that needs, and I'm sure that everyone's working very hard and doing a good job, and I'm sure that there's a good plan in place. I just think that it kind of goes back to the same thing. Nobody is quite sure who to contact and when, because I think that obviously we don't want to overload you, because you probably don't need me calling you every time I have a question about school. And so I think that if there was, obviously these resources are available, and obviously we have people who know what's going on, know the information that we're seeking, but if we could understand better where to find them, that would be helpful.
Do you know who the school resource officers are? That would be another question.
Yeah.
And then what I would recommend, if you know who they are, I mean, maybe we need to put out that, you know, that's why they're there. They are there to be accessed. They're there to answer questions. And then if somehow we're missing the mark on answering questions, then that would be a phone call that either Chief Smith or myself could answer. And we'd be happy to do that. We'll, you know, we're committed to putting resources over there as best we can within our budget.
Fly around the bulletin board.
Yeah.
I mean, even, you know.
What about the kids at the Learning Center who are in direct contact with the student who, you know, now their education is being, you know, impacted a little bit because they can't focus on what they should be doing at school because they're worried about, you know, the student next to them or in the same building as them, and I know that the safety plan's in place, but a lot of these kids have special needs in there, you know, so they're not thinking the same way as everybody else. But I do know some families in there who feel like their kids are directly feeling the anxiety of it, feeling just
right.
They can't focus, so, they can't get it together. So one student coming back, and I understand mental illness, I do, and my heart really does go out to that family. But there are some, you know, not so great things, you know, as you know, that this student had put out on social media, which all the kids now know. So what do you do for those families in there? What do you do for those students? Because their mental state is now being affected.
So one of the things that we've done specifically is, one, we know that any type of situation, whether it's, you know, in the media or not, affects our children. And so to minimize that, working with the best thing we can do is work with our teachers, who are the direct contact, and make sure that we have the adequate counselors.
Yes.
And the unique thing with the Learning Center is because it is smaller, and we do have more resources per child there, that that's how we've been able to at least try to manage that. I wish I could say that I have the perfect solution. We don't. We have to take each kid individually and manage that.
So I think you're right. The teachers there are the most important thing. They really are. And I think that they're, you know, from the feedback that I'm getting from some of the students, and I think Colin can attest, like, the teachers are handling it really well. I do want to talk to you, and I think that everybody should understand that there's some concerns with some of the firing of some of these fine teachers at that school.
Right. I'm aware of it.
We need to talk about because you've got a really, really, really delicate system there, emotional system there, and I think that it's kind of irresponsible, and I don't understand why it's being disrupted by firing some of the best teachers you have there.
So, again, you know what my response is going to be. I can't share personnel details with you. Know that I've personally met with all the teachers one-on-one and as a group with them on this situation. So we've met as a team. And I've personally done that. I've met with individual students at the Learning Center as well. Talked to them and tried to provide as much information as I can to them. I would much rather have you call me. So when you say that I don't have time as a student, I would be probably twice as fast to respond then. I'm very, very much there for the kids. I do need to do a time check, and I apologize, but please know that if any time you want to do a one-on-one, I'm more than happy to meet with you one-on-one. Wade, Frank, thank you.
Thank you guys, appreciate your time.